Welcome, everyone, to Reader of Hearts Radio. This is your host, Darren Owens, and my amazing friend and co-host, Scott Kreitzka. Are you there, Scott?
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening for everybody.
Well, we're here, and we had some really awesome intro music, but unfortunately, that didn't happen today. So we're going to have that next time. So you have to listen to the next show just to hear the awesome music that Scott actually put together for us. So stay tuned for that next week. So here we are, Scott. And I have to say that I want to give a great big thank you because you're the one that kept pushing me to do this for a couple of years now. I think it's been a few years, right?
It's easily been that. Yeah, I mean, we probably even started talking about it back from when we met, which was, gosh, eight years ago.
8 years ago when we were starving intuitives in the Bay Area of California.
That's right.
But yeah, those were actually fun times, interesting times, but we were just a soul family. We recognized each other and we had found out, you know, maybe we'll do a show on that one day about our past life that we encountered together many, many moons ago. But all in all, we've been friends for a long time and here we are finally creating something together. We've been really putting our intention for this and here it is. So it's exciting. So thank you, Scott, for being the catalyst for it.
Well, thank you for being the reader of hearts, Darren. And I'm really excited because one, we'll get an opportunity to go through all the material that you've created. You've got three books that have been published. And I think as we've been talking and lining up future guests, I'm really excited also for the guests that we're going to have, at least through the end of the year, that we've already got lined up.
Oh, absolutely. I've had the privilege of working with some amazing teachers, spiritual masters, healers, psychics in this business for almost 20 years now. And again, it's just the time frame that we're in is a jump time in our consciousness. And so all of these amazing teachers are not just visible. You know, we have a lot of public personalities that we'll have on the show, but we also know individuals that are doing what I call those quiet miracle workings in locations where they live. They're not well known, but they're doing their healing and their work and in their locations where they're living. You know, it's not a big show or anything like that, but we've got some quiet miracle workers too that we're going to have on the show as well. So it's an eclectic show and it's a show for everyone to learn and to understand and to embrace their spiritual selves. That's the basis of every show. Whether I'm sitting here preaching along or we have a guest, the intention of every single show is when you, the listener, are listening to it, you will walk away with hopefully a new piece of the puzzle to your own life. Isn't that the intention?
Exactly. And I think for those of you that know Darren already and those of you that will get to know Darren, you'll see a couple things, I think. One is Darren definitely gets into a zone. And it's pretty amazing because one, I'll just kind of, I know we're going to get into some of this a little bit more later, but one of the things that blew me away when I met you, Darren, was not only, you know, what you've experienced, but quite honestly, like even the things that I personally saw, especially when we were working in the Bay Area at the metaphysics bookstore, like the way that you're able to work with spirit, say, and like the healings that you did. I mean, literally, you know, I had read about, you know, laying hands on people and people just kind of falling over. But like, I saw you do that. Like,
right.
You're someone that walks your talk. But at the same time, I also wanted to mention the other thing that amazes me about you is just all the connections that you've made throughout your personal career, the people that you know. I won't mention any names yet, but I mean, I've just always been blown away by how you're able to manifest and just bring in the right people and people that, you know, quite honestly are well known as well, that right. I just find that balance in you pretty amazing. That's why I'm looking forward to talking about it more.
Well, you know, I think the reason that that's happened in my life is the fact that my intention is always to meet and to work with those authentic souls, that we're all on the same wavelength of helping others awaken spiritually and psychically. And through the process of healing, it's an awakening process in itself. So, you know, when you're doing real psychic work, it's not fortune telling. It's an act of spiritual enlightenment and healing and direction. And that's what I wrote about in my first book. So that's just sort of my intention in my life. I don't want any fake people. I can't stand it. We have enough of those fake people in this, you know, in our lives. And so especially, unfortunately, in the whole healing new age realm, there's tons of fake people, but there are some awesome people. I'm just lucky enough to be able to network with those folks. And you're one of those in my life. You've always been so authentic, and you're not a yes person either, because you'll tell me, it's like, okay, Darren, you're being a diva. You know, so you've always given me that sense of reality, because my life is so connected to higher realms, that people in my life are very grounding, that are close to me, and they keep me real. Because you can float away like a red balloon if you allow yourself to get so consumed by the glamour of this type of business. So authenticity and grounding is so important to me. So I think that has a lot to do with the individuals in my life.
Yeah, I agree. I think the individuals you see yourself surrounded with is a wonderful mirror and reflection. So right. Once again, deeply honored to be here with you today.
Well, it's just going to be it's like a continuation. I look at this show as maybe not just individual shows, but just one long continued conversation, because you can't talk about this kind of work, spirituality and the cosmos, in really just one session. So it's going to be fun. So I'm honored myself.
Awesome. Yeah.
Well, if you don't mind, I'd love to talk about my experience that I had
this
past weekend.
Oh my God, that'd be awesome. Yeah. And then I think once we get through that, then I'd love to just kind of introduce you a little bit more formally, and we'll start talking about all your past work. Yep.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm still in the energy of this transformation and of being at the Edgar Cayce Foundation in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And my past two books were published by the foundation's ARE Press, Fourth Dimension Press. And for the first time, I actually got to go to Virginia Beach this past weekend to be part of an event and tour the facilities. And I have never been to a location where the energy was absolutely balanced.
Wow.
There's energy everywhere. You're going to pick up good energy. You're going to pick up bad energy, negative energy, muted energy, that type of thing. The foundation itself was literally, it sustained a high vibrational frequency all the time I was there. And it's almost like you walk into a different dimension. Especially, I got a private tour of the room where they keep all of the Cayce readings.
Wow.
So over 14,000 readings he did in his lifetime.
Wow. And it's all kept on paper.
It's all kept on paper and files, and it's 14 filing cabinets.
Wow.
Of the recorded, written down readings that he did. And so that's where we get all of our Edgar Cayce information on reincarnation and health and spiritual growth and what psychic ability really is. All of this came from the readings.
Yeah, and it's amazing, because I would say that's really how I met you, right? It was during the book study, the Edgar Cayce book study, right? Back when.
That's right. I forgot. I started an Edgar Cayce book club in the Bay Area. And for those of you listening who do not know who Edgar Cayce is, well, right now, after our show, not right now, but after our show, go to edgarcayce.org. And Edgar Cayce was the sleeping prophet, and he lived from 1877 to 1945. He's been called the father of holistic medicine. In my opinion, he was the last greatest true psychic we had on this planet. So his work still lives today in the foundation in Virginia Beach. Everyone working there, their intent is to continue the work of Edgar Cayce and continue the spirituality and the healing that came through the readings. And that's always been a foundation in my life. I started reading the works of Cayce when I was 15. So to be able to experience and see this manifested in front of my eyes and see the people involved in making this happen was just overwhelming. And I'm so honored to be a part of that organization. I'm a proud member of the ARE, and now I lecture with them. So it was fascinating. It was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it sounded like an incredible experience, because, again, this has been with you for a long time. In fact, I was curious, you know, when you were 15, reading that material, I mean, do you remember what that impact was on you?
Yeah, it was as if I think a lot of the listeners will know this too. When you're reading something, I always say, go back and look at all those self-improvement books you've read over the years and open those pages up to where you underline something. Because wherever you have underlined or highlighted something in that book was a truth for you. Everything else may have not mattered at the time, but I've often gone back to my old books that I read back when I was a teenager, and I went back and I saw something I underlined that I needed right at the moment in this time in my life. So our soul knows when we're reading and experiencing truth for ourselves. So it was as if when I was 15, I knew what I was reading was true. But later in my life, I would experience the wisdom of that truth, and it would become part of me. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense to me.
Yeah, because when you can read all you want, but unless you experience that truth, you won't gain the wisdom of it. So the universe, everything you underline in your book, the universe is going to say, okay, they underline you create your reality. Well, let's show this person what that really means. So the universe will modify itself and create a situation in your life to help you learn something that touched you or you connected to in reading any kind of spiritual literature. You have to experience that in your physical life before you gain the wisdom of it.
Yeah, I think that's why so many people experience, you know, synchronicity, really.
Right. Yeah, because I've heard many people, myself included, oh my gosh, I just read about that in this book and it just happened to me. Or, oh, I had to really put that tool to use. And that's the key to enlightenment. Enlightenment really isn't suddenly we're all happy and healthy and living on pink clouds in the sky. Enlightenment is the purposeful intent on experiencing spiritual truth in your life. And on a daily basis, when you use those tools that you're reading about or hearing about or that type of thing, that's enlightenment because you actually put that to use. You put that truth into action. And I think that's what it was for me growing up, was reading a lot of these materials that I would soon later in my life experience in the physical, and it was sort of a downloaded reality.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's why the works of Edgar Cayce, A Course in Miracles, and you and I both are revisiting The Keys of Enoch by J.J. Hertek. So these spiritual truths that have lasted for so many years, the reason they last is because they are truly doing something on a soul level to individuals that are reading their pages. I mean, it really does. That's when you know that truth is awakening itself, because these authentic spiritual paths are putting action into our lives. They're bringing us to our spiritual selves.
Exactly. And that's why I find it really fascinating, quite honestly, in this, you know, this big digital technical age that we're in, that still, when it comes down to it, books on paper are still such a very important part of our experience. And that includes awakening and enlightenment.
Oh, absolutely. You've got to have a spiritual director in your life, whether it's myself or reading a book or a minister that you trust or a therapist. There's somebody there that's a catalyst for you to begin awakening on your own. And then eventually, if you keep working hard enough on your spirituality, you'll be able to start taking direction from your own higher self eventually. And you'll be able to listen to that voice and trust that voice and let that voice continue pushing you and carrying you on your path. That's the goal for every person on this planet, is to awaken to their own higher self. And I've made other psychics really not very happy with this statement, but I said, I want a time frame when I don't have a job anymore, when I don't have to do consultations anymore. I don't have to do healings anymore, because everyone is tapping into that source themselves.
That's so wonderful to hear that. Yeah, I mean, to me, that's the high integrity piece to what I think you bring in.
Yeah.
And I appreciate hearing that.
Yeah, well, it's just the truth. It has to come at one point where the earth itself begins to be spiritualized by every awakening soul on this planet. And we do that through remembering who we truly are, which are we're children of God. We are all sparks of the divine. And when that truly becomes a reality in our life, it changes everything. It begins to change the energy and the frequency and the realities in everyone's life. And over time, we begin to see this planet begin to spiritualize. And it begins to be the new earth that everyone keeps talking about. I always think the new earth is going to actually vibrationally happen right here if we all, as a soul group, continue our conscious journey. And we're not going to be beamed up anywhere, you know, to another location or planet. I think we can literally spiritualize that vibration right here on this planet.
Yeah, I completely agree with it. I think that this planet and our mother is just waiting for that, or ready for that to happen, and creating it, helping us create that. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because this planet itself is a high intelligent source, a very smart feminine energy. And so if we can keep grounded into that perspective, you know, have our roots into the earth and then our higher psychic frequencies within our body connected to the heavens, then that's perfect balance. And that we can have that recycling of spiritual energy, and we can make that happen on this planet. I truly believe that. And I think that's what the Edgar Cayce folks are doing in Virginia Beach, or they're continuing that authentic spiritual message for everyone. New generations or two are coming in. I saw kids of all ages that were going to the Cayce Foundation and learning about who he was and what the readings meant and what the information was for and how they could adapt it to their life. So it was pretty fascinating to see that generational awakening.
That's amazing. Yeah. It's wonderful to hear that, because, I mean, I think in the traditional school system, we know that that's not being taught, but yet kids are so awake and aware, at least from ages away from our generation. That's beautiful to hear. Yeah.
And I have to give a kudos out to the parents, because I think parents are beginning to awaken later in their life. So therefore they are now immediately helping their children do the same thing, is to stay awake, to stay aware, and to stay connected, because we're having to relearn that, our generation. But these kids now are coming in this way, so I think parents or guardians or whoever are keeping them awake and alive and alert in the spirit.
Yeah, that's why I think everything's so accelerated, because people of all generations are waking up, and the younger generation's coming in already awake.
Right. So that was my experience this past week. And then I have to go back to Virginia Beach in September. I'm doing a conference on psychic ability as your natural ability. So there are three other speakers, I think, that are doing the same process of psychic awakening that weekend. So that's going to be fun.
That sounds amazing. And of course, I remember Virginia Beach being a small child and just having these warm memories of that area. I think that area is on some sort of I don't know if it's a vortex or some kind of an energy line, but that's a really great location.
It is.
Center.
I was absolutely shocked by the fact of how at home I felt when I walked on the beach there, as opposed to walking on the beach in Los Angeles, where you're afraid of syringes and diapers. But in Virginia Beach, it was very clean. It was very, the people were just lovely. And you know, I'm from the South, so that kind of mentality of being grounded, and it's just everyday life here in the South. And it was the same thing there in Virginia Beach. So it was really wonderful to experience that. Everyday folks. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this year in particular for you sounds amazing. And I would imagine there's some people listening right now that also heard you on Coast to Coast AM, which was, that was about a month ago.
That was, just about a month ago. And that was an amazing miracle from left field. Of course, everyone knows Coast to Coast. And so when I got the invite from them to be on the show, I thought, wow, what am I going to talk about? Because I'm thinking alien babies and ancient mysteries. And most of my work deals with the supernatural and psychic perception right here on this planet. But I was realizing I got 11,000 hits on my website that night. And I thought, really? I mean, seriously, that many people are interested in what I have to say. And the positive flow from the response of the show really reinstated why I do my work, because people, just about everyone that I talk to, that listen to the show on Coast to Coast were desperately seeking to find their spiritual reality. They were done with the psychic glamour and the mediums and the reality shows. These people were serious about their path. And I suppose I vibrated that frequency on the show, because when people were talking to me, they said, thank you for being real about this. I've had these experiences. I've had contacts with the supernatural. Wasn't sure how to deal with it, but I'm ready to open myself spiritually, because I know there's something else going on this planet. And that really humbled me, because at times over the years, I've actually taken hiatuses from teaching and writing and everything, because I really felt like people were so wrapped up in the reality show persona of what it is to be psychic.
Exactly.
And yeah, so I saw a shift. I think people are really beginning to get tired of that glamorized perception of psychic or supernatural realities. They want the real deal. And they're finding it within themselves, and that's what I'm helping them do.
Exactly. And what the conversations that I love we've had in the past is talking about, say possession release or the supernatural, Bigfoot, things like that. But you always tie it back to making sure that people are either healed or dealing with this stuff in a really balanced, integrated way, right?
Oh, right. Yeah. Like I said before, it's if you allow yourself to get wrapped up in the glamour of all this, you can be like the little red balloon flying up in the sky. And if you always keep your sights set on your spiritual ideal, Edgar Cayce talked about that too, you can't go wrong. You are grounded in your own spiritualness. So therefore, whatever supernatural experiences that you're having, you are still grounded in your focus on the source or God or whatever you want to call that ideal in your life. So therefore, every bit of my work, whether I'm doing spirit releasement therapy, hands-on healing, psychic readings, teaching, I always keep my focus on the ideal in my life, which is the Christ consciousness. Mm-hmm. For me, or yeah, divine love. And that's everything comes from that. Everything is set up from that point of view within my mind's eye. So therefore, the work itself is going to have a sense of authenticity, or I don't do it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why. I mean, I'm excited when we get into more of some of the detailed topics, but like especially when we've talked about like spirit releasement in the past, and how like on a lot of shows they get to the point of investigating and saying, yeah, there's a spirit here, but that's usually about as far as they go.
Well, that's all the sense they have. They can't go right. any further. They don't know how to deal with a soul that is earthbound that we call a ghost. So right. they shake the energy up. These people go in there with their flashlights and insult these beings. You know, a friend of mine says that, and she runs a paranormal expo in Arkansas, and she says ghosts were people too. Mm-hmm. And so imagine these ghost paranormal groups going into a haunted location, and instead of trying to help the soul cross over, they go in there and insult the soul by saying, make my flashlight blink on and off. Would you do that to a human being? Would you walk up to somebody, a stranger, in a room in a mall somewhere, and say, would you make my flashlight go on and off? They're going to think you're crazy, and they're going to get carted off. So there's no difference when we're looking at a soul that's trapped and in need of our help to cross over. There's no difference in that. You're insulting that intelligence, you see. So yeah. I do not support a lot of these paranormal groups, because they don't have any spiritual ideals. Now, that's not all of them, so don't send me hate mail. But the majority of the ones that I have encountered or have asked me to help, I have turned down, because they have zero spiritual awareness in their work. It's all show. It's all so scientific that they lose their humanity. You cannot lose your humanity when someone is not in a human form anymore. You see?
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good point, because I know I've seen at least one show where, they would do prayer or do releasement, proper releasement, where there's a healing involved, right?
Right. And, there's a healing that's why I always tell people my healing work is not just within the physical, it's supernatural, because I'm not only helping people on this side of the veil to heal, but I'm helping others on the other side to heal, to cross over and go to their destinies that await them. And that's what spirit releasement therapy is. It's helping souls that are stuck on this earth plane for whatever reason, helping them release those chains, emotional, mental chains that's keeping them here, and getting them to cross over and go further into their spiritual destinies. That's the work as a medium that I do. That's why I don't stand on a stage and say, Uncle Ted says hi and the money is buried in the backyard next to the oak tree. I don't do any of that. The work and how I communicate with ghosts or lost souls is purely to help them cross over. That's always been the way it's been for me. So I really don't support the whole gallery reading thing. I think it's a circus show, and I just don't see real help in that. That's just my own personal belief system. So, you know, what about the souls that need help? Because I know mediums that stand up there, they talk to these spirits and everything, but I have yet to see any one of them work with the soul to cross over. I heard one medium recently do a lecture and said, I'm not even going to talk to you about ghosts or earthbound spirits. That's nothing I'm interested in.
Interesting.
How could you be a medium and not be interested in helping a soul cross over?
Well,
so
yeah, kind of. I guess their business would go out the dimensional door.
But I'm feeling a soapbox under my foot right now, so I'm going to step off that for a minute. We'll get into that. That's a whole nother show.
That's going to be yeah.
I have very, very strong beliefs about how one uses their abilities, whether you're a medium or a psychic or a healer. It's always should be the purpose of healing and spiritual awakening, not for show.
Yep.
So I've turned down about 5 reality shows over the years because it's preposterous for one. And number two, you know, God himself said, if you ever use these gifts for anything other than the work that you're ordained to do, I will shut them off. That was back when I was 18 years old. So I listened to that.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we see a lot of psychics too. I get a lot of emails asking me why this famous psychic, why their predictions seem to not work anymore. Or why? I think what happens over time is that if you're not careful and you become a psychic celebrity or whatever, if you start buying into your own publicity, you are no longer listening to God. And I think that affects your abilities, and you're using your abilities in the wrong way. So, and of course, another thing too about prediction is that as a global soul group on this planet, we are evolving so quickly. We are understanding how we're creating our reality so quickly that future predictions are extremely subjective.
Yeah, so exactly.
Reality can change very quickly according to the individual involved. Now, years and years ago, we were still a little bit slow on the uptake about our reality and how we could create it. So prediction was a lot easier. You could predict something that might occur, and it usually did. If you're really a good, keen psychic, like Edgar Cayce or somebody like that, you could predict some of those situations. But now it's so fluid. So when I do a reading and I get predictive information, I always say, you know, this is subjective to how you control your destiny. I don't control your destiny. You do.
Exactly.
So yeah. I can give you energies around the situation. I can give you time frames to watch out for. And I can even give you the situation, how it may occur if you continue on this path. But you can change your reality. So that's how I deal with predictive information, because it's always to empower the client to make a change.
Exactly. And that's why I think you've got, you know, a really healthy body of work in your 3 books, which I want to talk about right now. But I also want to take a step back and just mention to those that are listening that later in the show, if there are any questions, there's an 888 number you can dial into. It's 888-627-6008. Again, if you want to ask questions for Darren, 888-627-6008.
Yeah, and don't have any questions about alien babies. I'm not interested. So
so you have a not interested list.
Not yeah. We'll all find that out as we go along.
I was gonna say, but again, with the three books that you have out, I mean, you do cover a vast array of topics, especially in your last book. And I just wanted to just basically read off to those listening, you know, the fact that you are a psychic intuitive, a spiritual healer, and you are the best-selling author of your first book, which is Reader of Hearts, The Life and Teachings of a Reluctant Psychic. And that came out on New World Library. That was back in 2006. And then through Edgar Cayce, Dimension Press, you released Becoming Masters of Light, which is co-creating the new age of enlightenment. And I mean, you've really been doing this for basically two decades.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And just bringing, I love how you say, you know, bringing authentic enlightenment to countless souls through a powerful psychic gift that you, I mean, you've carried since you were born.
You know, I have always been psychic. I've always had a sensitivity to the supernatural. I didn't get hit by lightning. I wasn't in a car accident. I didn't have an out-of-body experience. Nothing cool and awesome and new agey like that. It was simply just the way it was. I was born knowing. And luckily, my life, I've always kept that knowing going. So I didn't have any moments in my life where I wasn't psychic. It was always there. Now, I've had moments of questioning God and why am I here, but we all go through that. That's a natural expression of our spiritual growth. But it made sense to me because I would hear these stories about my great-grandfather and my great-grand. And I write about this in the new book, Mysteries of the Supernatural, that just came out through the Cayce Foundation. My great-grandfather used to heal people using a Bible verse. And so in my research for the book, I began to understand that here in the South, that was a very big belief in what they called hoodoo or conjure work. And it's sort of a superstitious, magical practice. But I think my grandfather had these amazing folk ways about him, but he was a deeply spiritual individual as well, from what I understand from the family members. And it was always kind of weird to them. They didn't question him. They didn't really pay much attention because the fact was, okay, well, he's got the Bible open, so something's going to happen. So it made sense in my life why I was so psychic, because it was in my family. And my great-grandfather was supposed to pass down this information of healing people through Bible verses to a member of the family, which he never did when he passed. And I think he probably thought there wasn't anyone worthy. I mean, I don't think anybody really cared at that point. And I feel like now I'm sort of fulfilling an aspect of my great-grandfather's work. I think he's passing that sort of gift somehow on to me as well. So that was kind of exciting to find out about my family because it made sense. I always wondered why I was the way I was because no one in my family really talked about it or had a psychic ability until I started doing my own family research and found out about my great-grandfather.
Yeah, that's incredible to be able to tie it back to your family lineage. So, and I thought you knew that for a while. I didn't realize that was fairly recent.
It made more sense to me because I knew my grandfather did odd things, but for some reason, when I started doing research for Mysteries of the Supernatural, and I really delved into my family tree, and I think I had to be really ready for the pieces to fall into place, I began to realize, okay, this is why I am the way that I am. But we're all this way because, again, psychic, like Edgar Cayce says, psychic means of the soul. So we're all souls. So we all have psychic potential to a certain degree. But I think that when it's a part of your family tribe and it's passed through that sort of tribal blood, energetic blood, awareness, there's something that connects you. And so it, for some reason, it just made a lot of sense that I wasn't the black sheep in the family. It was nice to know that I had someone in my corner, like an ancestor that I felt like was always with me now.
Exactly. And I know that you've also been able, you know, you surround yourself with friends that have been able to kind of help you feel more comfortable because, I mean, you live in a part of the country that might not be as open-minded, let's say, to some of these topics.
We're in the middle of the Ozark Mountains, And so it is the like the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. But even here, you know, we came back to kind of settle here for a little bit and kind of prepare for other things, my partner and I. And but even here, I'm seeing an awakening process. We actually have a New Age type store in Mountain View, Arkansas.
Wow.
Which is unheard of. And so then I knew, man, this change is really happening because it's going into the outskirts of America, and I'm sure around the world, these little pockets where we think consciousness can't seep into, but it really is. People are seriously waking up everywhere. So yep. Don't be disheartened. Any listeners out there, if you're stuck in the Midwest or in the South or some what we call conservative areas where there's you think there's no open minds and open hearts, trust me, it's happening everywhere. Have yep. faith in yourself. And maybe you might have to be the catalyst to awaken your consciousness within your community. Who knows?
Yep. Or stay part of this great. I mean, that's where I see technology is medicine. And the fact that here's a community right here, this online BBS radio community. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all here. And we can use the internet and technology like that to connect with other people and create soul groups even digitally. So it's just fascinating. It's pretty amazing. And here's the thing about the internet and the computer and the what we call the net. It is a reflection of our own multi-sensory persona.
Mm-hmm.
We have literally created the internet and the web as a reflection of sort of the energetic matrix that we all have vibrating within us. We literally have created this and manifested it in a physical form because our true multi-sensory selves communicate through telepathy. So if you look at email and instant messaging and that type of thing, it's a sense of almost like it's telepathy. We've just manifested it on a physical form. So at some point, as our consciousness grows, we will become more and more and more telepathic in our communication. That's why it's almost, you know, I hear a lot of people in my reading say, you know, I just have trouble communicating and I don't know why. I think it's because we are literally raising our vibrations and words, there are no words anymore. Mm. We are literally sensing and feeling energy and we're beginning to communicate that way. So it'll be interesting to see the next several years ahead what we're going to come up with next as far as the internet or anything like that. But you know, there are some things, correct me if I'm wrong here, that they're creating that we can control with a thought, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So again, we are literally manifesting our telepathic abilities in physical ways. So if we can do that, then we can obviously sort of backtrack a little bit and begin to evolve our telepathic abilities without any kind of physical tool. It becomes our true language. I didn't mean to get off on that weird topic, but that's sort of what's happening in this planet right now.
Well, I'm glad that you did that because, again, like even with your latest book, Mysteries of the Supernatural, I mean, there's so many topics in that book, but I think it's echoing the reality that we're in, which is we're all being inundated with so much information. And sometimes it's helpful to just acknowledge that there's all this stuff out here and then having a leader or a voice kind of help rein it in and sort of tie it all together.
Right. It's when I wrote Mysteries of the Supernatural, one of the main reasons I wrote it, and a lot of our listeners probably know this, but I was so sick of looking at the reality shows on the paranormal, putting out ridiculous information about the paranormal that's absolutely not true. So I was afraid that all of these people watching these shows were getting misinformation about dealing with the supernatural. So that was one reason why I wanted to write the book and talk about my experiences with the supernatural, but also give it a spiritual foundation, because that's what's missing with all of this psychic information out there is the spiritual foundational work that someone has to do. And I was reading the other day, many years ago when Casey was still alive, and I think somebody asked him and said, how do you become more psychic? He says, become more spiritual.
Mm.
So when you begin to work on your spirituality, being psychic and intuitive is a natural byproduct of your spiritual growth. It is not something you can't, you got to have a spiritual foundation with it, because you can also have people that are psychic but not spiritual. And it sounds like a contradiction, but what it really is that you can have these people that can see visions and can read people's minds and all this, but there's an emptiness there. That emptiness that comes with it, there's no spiritual grounding there. There's no growth there.
A lot of fear.
There's a lot of fear there. So if you work on your spirituality and your spiritual growth and then begin to awaken your psychic ability that way, you have a better sense and a more grounded perspective in your life. It's a lot more healthier in that sense. That's why you have murderers and serial killers that seem to have an instinct. Well, it's because they are extremely psychic, but on a lower psychic conscious level. It's those first three chakras. You know, it's physical survival and our power and our well-being in that sense in the physical world. So you can have heightened senses only dealing in the physical. So that's why it looks like some people are so psychic, but they're just not good people. But they're they have a high instinct on a lower vibrational level, but it only deals with the physical. Mm-hmm. You see, it gets a little weird and out there, but that's another thing I'm fascinated by is why some people who seem to be so lacking in spirituality are psychic. And, you know, so that's an interesting theory that I'm looking into these days.
Yeah, that I'm sure we could have a whole show on it. I mean, that's why I personally love like the movie The Matrix, because I think that's sort of our reality. We're kind of like just plugged into programs, and you don't have to be spiritual to just be jacked into something like that.
Right. And I think, too, when you do choose to plug into your higher self and you use your abilities in a higher perspective, it again becomes a lot more healthy for your life and those around you. You know, when I'm dealing with possession work, for example, and I'm dealing with negative energies or demonic energies, we call it, those negative energies are very psychic, and they will use their ability to confuse and to derail someone else from moving further in their own spiritual consciousness, whether New Age people, and believe it or not, or anybody. There is an adversarial energy in this planet. There's two energies, love or fear. Fear is always going to try to take you off your path. Mm-hmm. So that's why it is imperative that every soul on this planet spend time working on a spiritual ideal that they can root themselves into, whether it's the Christ consciousness, whether it's just divine love, something that is of a high vibrational frequency. So therefore, you don't have to deal with these negative energies trying to kick you off your path. They're not interested in somebody that's connected. They're interested in the people that are not interested in connecting, or they're interested in those individuals that want self-power. For example, those folks that want psychic power just for the power of it.
Exactly. And again, and going back to your latest book, Mysteries of the Supernatural, I mean, again, I love the fact that you take us through the spectrum from dark to light, which is reflected in what we're talking about here. And I also want to just take some quick time. Is there anything, I like to call it book candy, so from Mysteries of the Supernatural, because there's such a huge range of topics, like just maybe one or two examples from the book that maybe you enjoyed writing or talking about, you know, right now?
I think, you know, this book was so much fun for me to write because my other two books were strictly about spiritual growth, and I didn't really get to communicate about my supernatural experiences with hauntings or Bigfoot. You know, it's a great story about Bigfoot.
With Carol. And,
with my friend and my assistant, Carol. And, you know, she talk about, you know, the Twilight Zone. Poor Carol, you know, 20 years working with me, she has been out there on the edge. And I think my favorite part of Mysteries of the Supernatural was literally talking about the seven realms of the supernatural, because the supernatural contains so much information and topics and inhabitants and all this stuff. And I think really for me, and looking and researching this book and over the years of dealing with this and seeing the different realms that I had to encounter, my favorite part was actually putting them in a scope for individuals to understand better, because it's so fluid. And one of my favorite topics, I have to say, and I'm thinking here, so one of my favorite things I said in the book was, pay attention to the man behind the curtain. Because we've always heard, you know, from the Wizard of Oz, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Well, you know, when it comes to the supernatural and what we're living right now, we need to pay attention to the man behind the curtain, meaning pay attention to the reality that's behind the veil. Because just as we're peering in, looking through the veil, trying to see what we can see, the inhabitants on that side is looking at us and trying to figure out what we are. It's the same exchange of energy. They are just as curious as we are. And what's a fascinating scope of this is looking at, if you look at pop culture, let's look at television pop culture, because you know I love my television shows. And so back in the 90s, we had the X-Files, big, huge, popular show. And the foundation of that television show said, the truth is out there. The truth is out there. The truth is out there. And I can always tell when we're shifting our consciousness by our pop culture on television and what shows are real popular. So that was in the 90s. In 2005, we had a series that came on called Supernatural, about two brothers that travel the country battling demons and negative energies and helping people and doing exorcisms and all this fascinating stuff, and then finally dealing with angels. They were saying in this new show in 2005, they were saying the truth is in our backyard. It's right here, right now. And I began to realize that people were becoming more and more and more connected to what was lying and vibrating beyond the veil in the supernatural. More and more people were having actual experiences right in their own living room. It was no longer just seeing lights in the sky, or was that something in the corner of my house, or was it this? People are actually encountering the supernatural right here, right now.
Exactly. Yeah, and I was hoping that you could just walk us through what the seven realms are, because I think that's going to tip the hat to all the future topics we're going to have.
Well, the first realm I start with is the dark realm. The dark realm of the supernatural is the furthest realm from the source of all creation, our Heavenly Father, Mother God. The source realm is where demonic beings and fallen angels reside. This is, and the reason how I came up with these realms is my own personal experience with these different entities and exchanges I had with these entities and the situations I was involved in, and realizing for me, these realms are very real, very, very, very real. And so the dark realm, when I do my spirit releasement work and depossession work, I began to realize that there was actually a sort of dark area within the supernatural where these beings hung out. And so that's the demonic and the fallen angels. So we can look at it as the archetypal purgatory, I guess, or hell, if you want to call it that. Okay?
Okay.
So, and again, this realm is the furthest away from the source. This realm doesn't see the light of the Creator. So therefore, that's why all the negativity, like our negative thoughts and everything that can over time make its own intelligence, it gets its power from this realm. So this is why it's so imperative that we stay in the light and we stay connected to our spiritual selves. The next realm up from that is the nature realm. Earth folk, nature spirits, fairies. And you know, I used to laugh about this way back when. Oh, these people and they're dancing fairies and all this. Until I experienced an encounter with fairies and what I call a deva. Fairies are angels of nature. Their job is to keep the ecosystem of Gaia working, maintaining, recycling, all this. That's their job. The devas are the archangels of nature. So they sort of oversee the process in league with Gaia, our Mother Earth. And they're not that interested in human beings. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't mean to kind of ruin people's fantasy worlds. They are not too pleased with the human race. I wonder why. Because we're literally raping and pillaging the planet. So the more and more respect we have for the Earth, the more these nature spirits and fairies are going to be in league with us. Okay, we have to buy back their respect. Let's just say that. But their job in the nature realm is to keep the ecosystem and all of our fur people and animals and the fish and all the creatures of the father sustained. That's their job. They're like the guardian angels of nature. Then we move up another scale to the multidimensional realm. And you know that drawer you have in your house that has basically everything in it, just a junk drawer? Mm-hmm. This is sort of this realm. The multidimensional realm is where UFOs, aliens, cryptid creatures, all of those sort of interesting beings, we're not quite sure what they are, they reside within the multidimensional realm. And this is where I talk about having my encounter with Bigfoot. And this Sasquatch in southern Arkansas, in a little town called Falk, Arkansas. And I want my listeners to read the story because it's kind of fun. But literally, this creature told me about what Sasquatches really were. They were multidimensional beings. They're ancient beings, been on this planet since the beginning. And so they're amazing, lovely creatures. So I want everybody to read that story. Then we go up from the multidimensional realm into the paranormal realm, which is the major popular one on TV right now. Ghosts, spirits, hauntings. The paranormal realm is where lost souls are. You know, it's literally where they get stuck. So that would be the paranormal realm. Up from there, we got the spiritual realm. This is where our spiritual guides, guardians, human souls reside. Human souls meaning those souls that have crossed over. So when somebody leaves their body and they don't get stuck for whatever reason, they go to the spiritual realm. If someone leaves their body at death, if it's a trauma death or something like that, they get stuck on this planet. They're still stuck in their soul's form. They're stuck in the paranormal realm. Okay?
Okay.
So spiritual realm, spiritual guides, human souls that have crossed over. Then we go to a fascinating realm called the divine realm. This is where the angelic beings reside. This is where the archetypal gods and goddesses reside. The spiritual masters, that type of archetypal influence and vibration, they all hang out in the divine realm.
Also, would the higher self be considered part of that realm?
The higher self would be something that's connected to our next realm, the source realm. The source realm is the source of all creation. That's the Mother, Father, God, or our Heavenly Father's kingdom, whatever you want to look at. My personal belief is that the higher self is connected to the source realm. That's where we're all going. The reason we're so involved in wanting to be enlightened and spiritually grow is because our higher self is reaching forward and taking us back to the source. So our higher self is our link to our heritage and where we hail from, which is God, the source. And so if you think of the divine realm, you think of the divine realm as the realm where God splinters itself into many facets of spiritual masters and all of that type of thing. That's kind of like a reflection of a crystal. That's the divine realm, the many faces of God. And then when you go into the source realm, well, that is the source. That is, the word implies, the source of all creation. So that's where we're all going. We are evolving consciously. We are moving forward to our new destinies. But as a whole, I believe that we are all moving back towards the source. All souls go back to God. That's my belief. And whether you're still stuck in the divine, in the, let's say, the dark realm, at some point, somewhere, somehow, I believe light can creep in somewhere, and if one entity that has lost its way completely from the source can find its way back. I believe that.
I agree. Yep. Mm-hmm. And for the rest of us to keep shining that light, it'll break through, break on
Absolutely.
Through.
Absolutely. Yeah, because we're not just growing for ourselves. We're growing for everybody around us. We're evolving spiritually for the planet, not just for ourselves. And that's what I talked about in my book, Becoming Masters of Light. Enlightenment is no longer focused on me. It's we. We are evolving as a family of light now, not just individual spiritual growth because we're interested in a new direction in our life. It's going beyond that now. It's a holistic perspective.
Exactly.
So, and that was the foundation of Mysteries of the Supernatural. Even though I talk about really fun and exciting and cool and sometimes scary situations within the paranormal supernatural world, all in all, the foundation of the book is we all go back to the source. The source is our connection. So the higher self that we all have, because once you begin to wake your soul up through the spiritual awakening process, the higher self reinstates its direction again. Because you can look around and you can still see sleepwalkers. You're like, man, you know, we could see all this beautiful spiritual reality, and we can still look at Joe over here next door, and he is just oblivious. Mm-hmm. And I call those folks sleepwalkers. They are still completely zoned out of the spiritual reality. But somewhere along the line, Joe over there, whether it's in this lifetime or another one, will begin to waken up and awaken to that new reality, that fresh reality. Mm-hmm.
Well, I love how you tied everything together through your books. And I know we could keep talking for a long time, and that's why we have future shows. So we're coming up towards the top of the hour, and I wanted to give you some time for us to just talk about what's going to be coming up in future radio shows.
Well, right now we are – I know one guest that I have confirmed, and this is going to be very exciting. Mm-hmm. He wrote a book, and I think you have the other book too. He wrote The Sasquatch People and The Psychic Sasquatch.
Yes.
And I'm just going to be honest here. His name is Kawani, but I cannot pronounce the last name. Pretty awesome, exotic last name. But it's about his encounters with the Sasquatch being, and he also confirms that these beings are multidimensional, just like I talked about in my own book, with my own experiences. So I was so excited to find Kawani's book on the Sasquatch people and talking about how they're multidimensional beings, because this isn't really a well-known fact. You know, you've got a lot of the cryptozoology scientific perspectives out there, but I really truly believe that the truth lies in these creatures being multidimensional. So we are going to have him on the show. I think that's in September.
Yep, September.
And we're working with, and this is all way November, but we're excited about having J.J. Hertok and his wife Desiree, the author of The Keys of Enoch, The Book of Knowledge, and also The Pista Sophia. They also wrote The Over Self Awakening. They are going to grace us with their presence on our show to talk about the current evolution of our planet.
Yes, very exciting.
Yeah. And, oh, geez. And we have a friend of yours and mine that we both knew in the Bay Area, Sheldon. Right?
Sheldon Joe, yes, next month, August 9th.
He's one of our quiet miracle workers. And nobody really knows who Sheldon is, but you will after our show.
He's amazing.
He's a fascinating person, and I can't wait to talk about my first experience with him, getting off his motorcycle on his leather outfit, walking into the metaphysical store we were both doing our spiritual work at. So that'll be a fun story to tell.
Yep.
Next week. I think that's next show, right?
It is. August 9th.
Oh, geez. And we have a whole array of people that we've got lined up coming up. I know I'm going to have a bunch of my fellow colleagues from the Edgar Cayce Foundation. I want them to be on our show as well to speak about the importance of the Cayce work. And I know that we'll have some folks from the Course in Miracles family to come on the show. So, and of course me, I'll be sitting here talking about my stuff and call-ins. We'll have a lot of shows where you can call in. You can ask me questions, whatever you want. Anything you want. This is no holds bar show, so you can call in and ask questions, and I will do my best to sort of open up the psychic realms and tap in and see what we can come up for you.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. And in fact, before we end for today, can you let everyone know how they can contact you and what you're offering right now?
Absolutely. My website is Darren, that's D-A-R-R-I-N, owensofficial.com. Oh, information from my books. You got sample chapters from my books if you'd like to take a look at that. And I also do a lot of consultations on a weekly basis. So I do workshops as well. I don't do a whole lot because I'm kind of picky with where I do my live appearances. So you can take a look at that and see if I'm going to be in your area. But the biggest event coming up for me is the Psychic Conference in Virginia Beach in September. I think that's the 13th. Through the 14th, 12th, or something like that. Either way, it's in September. So you can join me in Virginia Beach for that. But everything about me is on my website. And we're happy to have you email us, ask us questions, and myself, my assistant friend Carol, she'll be happy to answer your questions too. And we'll see if we can help you out.
That sounds great. Thank you, Darren.
Hey, you're welcome, and I'm so excited about the show. Thank you, Scott. You are a fantastic moderator and co-host.
And it's just a pleasure, and just looking forward to more shows. So we're going to have more shows just with Darren. So our format is two shows a month, one with Darren, where we get to ask him all kinds of questions, delve deeply into topics that we talked about today. And then the other show will be with a guest, and more guests will be announced as we get into this.
That's right. And we're going to have the really awesome intro music next time, too. Don't forget that.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, guys, everyone have a fantastic rest of the wonderful weekend. We both love you, and God bless you.